Hey everyone, welcome to episode 39 of Thomas and the Bible. And we are on the book of Numbers, chapter 30. And let's just get right down to it. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had at all an husband, any husband at all, even just a little bit husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day he heard it, then her vows shall stand and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. This chapter is a tongue twister. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. But every vow of a widow and of her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her, and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But, because it was too easy up until now, but if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he establisheth all her vows, or all her bonds which are upon her. He confirmeth them, because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he shall anyways make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. Well, I just thought I'd go ahead and read that one through. That's a short chapter. The Bible makes it really easy sometimes. It does. It pretty much just comes out and says here that women aren't capable of making their own decisions or, you know, vows with God. So if a woman makes a vow and there aren't any men around in her life to hear it, then and only then can she be held to it. But if she's making a vow by herself and her husband comes and overhears it, like she's saying, like, Dear God, I have decided to make a vow of chastity to you. No more sex for the rest of my life. And then her husband's like, Ah, oh, my wife, God, she's such a kidder. Obviously, she didn't mean that vow. There's no way we're, you know, we're, don't feel like you need to hold her to that one or anything. She's just... April? Is it April 1st yet? Is it? No, it's not. But that she doesn't know the date. She's just, that's just women, huh? You know, no need to hold her to that vow. That's, we can just nullify that one. And I love how many times the Bible repeats the same. It repeats the same thing over and over. The part with men was like one line. It said, like, if a man makes a vow, then he makes a vow, and then the next 15 verses go on to designate all these rules about women when they make vows. And there's, you know, nothing sexist about that. Nothing Nothing remotely sexist about that. So let's go on to chapter 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward thou shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And I had to look up what the Midianites did to deserve revenge, because I don't even remember. And it's because they were the ones who apparently lured some of the people of Israel into idol worship, which I can only assume is an unhealthy obsession with Billy Idol. This whole thing is pretty laughable when you think back to the time when Moses... Yeah, if you remember when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments from God, and he sort of left... Remember that? He left the people down in the bottom, and he pretty much said, I'm gonna go talk directly to the all-powerful God up there that's ruling us, and he said he has some things to give me. Be back in about 3 hours, so you guys just hang out, you know. And when he came down, 10 seconds later, the people of Israel, the chosen people of Israel, without any help from these Midianites, who are supposedly are the villains here, had promptly decided to start a Billy Idol worship club. And this was completely without their help, and it was with Moses, it was just Israelites. There was nobody else there corrupting them, and they couldn't even behave. And I'm wondering, so how much are the Midianites really to blame here for when the Israelites started a Billy Idol fan club? Oh, and then also he says to Moses, after you do this, you'll be gathered up to your people, which, of course, if you remember, means he'll be killed, like Aaron was. He'll just die. So I bet Moses was taking his sweet time to get this particular war going. He's like, all right, men, we need to be incredibly trained and prepared for this war. I want everyone enrolling in a 5 to 7 year doctorate of battle program with a thesis fully published before we engage at all with the enemy. And also, we aren't marching an inch until we get some scientists to invent a potion that makes us all able to fly. And I want this all done first. That's all got to be done. And then, we are so going to war after that. Oh, we're going to take care of those Midianites if history hasn't already disposed of them before then. But oh, man, they're dead after that. Oh, yeah, you better watch out. I bet if he was... If it was me, it would have been the slowest war ever waged. It would have been the Hundred Years' War, except the Hundred Years would have been in preparation to even start the war. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe, 1,000 throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to the war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they were warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Not too many other slaying options, we can just assume it was a sword. And among Israel, the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones and took the spoil of all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods. So pretty much they've just killed everybody except the women and children. They're taking them back here. And they burnt all the cities within. So they're just killing everything, burning everything. And they burnt all their goodly castles with fire. They didn't bother with the shittier castles. They're like, ugh, look at that. Ugh, I'm down with burning these goodly castles over here, but look at that. Oh, who built that? That would be doing it a favor if we lit that on fire right now. I'm not even going to bother. Oh, man. Now, we only like goodly castles on fire. I'm not even... Who designed that thing? It's terrible. Oh, jeez. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. And they brought the captives, and the prey, and the spoil unto Moses, and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan, near Jericho, in case you were wondering. Moses said, "Oh, shit, you guys are done already? Damn it. Wait, but did you take as plunder every blade of grass that they had in their pastures so that, I mean, God specifically ordered?" And God says, "Give it a rest, Moses. It's over, damn it." Moses is like, "Okay." And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over the Moses was wroth with them over the thousands and captains over hundreds which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, he's just outraged, "Have ye saved all the women alive?" The people were like, "Yeah, we don't normally kill women since, I don't know, we just don't really like to kill women, if that's okay with you. I mean, come on, what's going on?" I don't know if maybe this was a feeble attempt to grab, like, some more time, you know, before Moses is supposed to die. Like you know, it's going to take a few minutes to kill all the women. Like, "Oh, no, the war's not done yet. It's not done yet. You got to kill all the women. Run. "Behold, these caused the..." He's talking of the women here. "These caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves." And this is an oft-quoted example of the Old Testament's ugliness, and with good reason. I mean, everyone except the virgins are murdered, and then the virgins are kept for their, you know, their own uses. So, turns out God's evil. Who knew? So let's just look at how the notes try to justify this here. They say, here's what some of the notes on the Bible say. "The sword of war should spare women and children." Yeah, of course, you know. "But the sword of justice knows no distinction." Really? It also says, "The women and children were not kept for sinful purposes, but for slaves." So first of all, apparently slavery is not a sin. So keeping someone in slavery, no big deal. That's fine. No big deal. Not a sinful purpose. Secondly, if there's anything we know for sure, it's that men would never do anything sinful with virgins who are, you know, completely under their control. That is, that never happens. Excuse me. That's never in history has that ever, you know, anyone's ever taken advantage of a slave or anything like that. No. No. Young virgin girl slaves. No, it's never happened. And as for the first part, was it the sword of justice knows no distinction? First of all, I'd say that the sword of justice usually does know a distinction in that we don't kill innocent children, you know, like, of the women, so, you know, like, how is that justice? And secondly, even if you grant that Billy Idol worship is a crime, which obviously I dispute, being the big Billy Idol fan I am, what kind of justice is it when you massacre an entire people? I find it hard to believe that every single Midianite woman coordinated an incredible effort to lead the Israelites to sin. You know, like, really? All of them? That's justice to this person who writes these notes. That's justice, just killing all of them and their children. Yeah, that makes sense. That's what happens when you start with a premise that the Bible is correct and then just work from there to try to figure out exactly how. It's just, it's disgusting, really. "And do ye abide without the camp 7 days, whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourself and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And purify all your raiment, and all that is made of skins, and all work of goat's hair, and all things made of wood." And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war, which went to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. And all that abideth not in the fire shall ye make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and ye shall be clean. And afterward ye shall come into the camp. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying... That was the end of the sentence. Come into the camp. You just never know when the sentences are ending in the Bible, so I tend to just keep it going the entire time. Come to the camp, and Moses spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum. I just keep the upward tone because it just never ends. Sentences go on for years. But in this case, the sentence actually ended, so don't I look foolish. And the Lord, new thought. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into two parts, between them that took the war upon them, who went out to battle, and between all the congregation, and levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war, which went out into the battle, one soul of 500, both of the persons, and of the beeves, and of the asses, and of the sheep. And now it all comes out. God only sent them to war because he's collecting a tax off the plunder. Or if you don't believe in the whole God part, then it's possible, you know, however unlikely it is, it's possible that Moses just went to war for the plunder and just... But what human would do that? I mean, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. Must have been God. Must have been. Also, it's funny, the detail I didn't notice the first time, but he only levies the tribute. He only taxes the plunder that was going to go to the people who actually fought the battle, which seems odd to me. He says, take half for the people who fought the battle and half for the people who didn't, and of the one for the people who fought, tax a fifth of it, you know, 20%, which is weird. Weird to me. I would have thought it'd be the other way around, because they earned it. I mean, if anybody did. After all, being evil takes work, you know. It's not just free ride. You gotta work for it. Take it of their half, and give it unto Eleazar the priest, for an heave offering of the Lord. And of the children of Israel's half, thou shalt take one portion of 50, of the persons, of the beeves, of the asses, and of the flocks, and of all manner of beasts, and give them unto the Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the booty, being the rest of the prey which the man of war had caught, was 600,000 and 70,000 and 5,000 sheep. That is a lot of sheep. And 312,000 beeves. That's a lot of beeves, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what a beeve is. Maybe that's not a lot of beeves. Maybe when they collected those beeves, they were like, you know, that's not a lot of beeves. That's normally you expect, you know, like 10 score and 18,000 beeves, but 312,000. You know, I wonder what they were doing with all their beeves. There must have been some beeve mismanagement going on there. But yeah, oh well. And 61,000 asses, and 32,000 persons in all. You know, just counted among the other objects. Of women that had not known man by lying with him. And the half, which was the portion of them that went out to war, was in number 300,000, and 730,500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 615. And the beeves were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 312. I don't know what's going through all these numbers. And the asses were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. I'm surprised the Lord didn't order Moses to, like, shred all these files, you know? Like, I mean, the Lord had to have known, you know, and first seen Enron and you know, like, Sarbanes-Oxley and all that. I wonder if maybe we can do like we did with Al Capone, you know, and get God on tax fraud, even if, you know, we can't catch him committing an actual crime. I mean, we know he's pulling the strings behind the major crime families of today, but if we could get them on with these new, you know, tax returns or financial documents here of the, I bet you we could get them on something. Good work. and the persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 30 and two persons. I wonder if they, I wonder if they had to do any rounding, like, or if they had the decimal point, like, 30 and two, oh, 0.7 persons. Oh, ouch. Okay, who's gonna be it? And to, like, cut 0.7 of a person. Wouldn't be surprised, really. And Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, unto Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And of the children of Israel's half, which Moses divided from the men that warred, parentheses, now the half that pertained unto the congregation was 300,000, 30,000, 7,000, 500 sheep, and this is all parentheses, and 30 and 6,000 beeves, and 30,000 asses and 500, and 16,000 persons, end parentheses, just, or, you know, that's just an aside. Even of the children of Israel's half, Moses took one portion of 50, both of man and beast, and gave them unto the Levites. I don't remember God telling him to do that, but I guess since he knows he's going to die, he's like, screw it, I'll do what I want. I don't care, what are you going to do, fire me? Okay, I'll be dead. You're supposed to kill me in, like, now. I thought the war ended, weren't you supposed to kill me? And the officers which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war, which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten, of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels, and the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord, of the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels, which may or may not be a lot of shekels, I don't know. Shekels are like beeves. You just don't know what the... I don't know what the exchange rate is, what the... I no idea. Oh, parentheses. Another little parenthetical here. God is sort of... I think for these parentheses, God's sort of like whispering, you know, for the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. End parentheses. That's added a lot. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the Lord of Israel before the Lord. And I read that wrong. For the memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. It's important that I get that right. So that's the end of that chapter. Only a tiny bit of evil going on there. Just absolutely hideous evil. You know, just a little bit. Might actually be a pretty short podcast now that I think about it. Let's see where I think I read the way the chapters divided up. I read a lot more last podcast, so this one was a little shorter. It's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Chapter 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, Moses, who's still alive now for some reason, I'm not sure why, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon, and Jazer and Nimrah, and Heshbon and Eleleh, and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And this is the first rational thing anyone has said all Bible. What a novel idea. They're saying, let's just stay in this land that is here, and is now available because for somehow the people have been freshly massacred, you know, by us, coincidentally. Why don't we just stay in this land? We've got a lot of cattle, and this land is good for cattle. So there's that. We've already killed everybody here, so it's not like we have to kill more people. So, I'm just wondering, could we maybe stay here? Is it, you know? And, of course, Moses and God are outraged by this thought. Just outraged. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And I would assume that, you know, they could have responded like, well, no, how about we all just stay here? Do you guys have to go to war to get another land? I mean, this land is, it's fine. It's not, I mean, it's pretty good land. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time. Oh, getting angry. And he swore, whoops, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. I bet there was one poor asshole that was just like, oh, come on, I turned 22 days ago. Oh, my, really? Oh, come on. Oh, man. Oh, man. 2 days. You gotta be kidding me. Come on. 2 days and I'm not gonna... Oh, God. What? Oh. Could we... Man, that is... Oh. Maybe I can fake my birth certificate or something. There's gotta be... I mean, he's God, but does he really pay attention? Sometimes I get the feeling he doesn't, you know, bother with the details. He's more of a higher-up manager that sort of just lets things go, you know? And I'm just... Maybe I could... Just fake it or something. Ah, 2 days. Oh, come on. 20. Why did I have... Mom, couldn't you have just kept me in you for a couple more days? Would really... Oh, come... Oh, man. Gosh, 2 days. Ah. I'm sure there was at least one person saying exactly that, word for word, in Hebrew. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. These are the two people that he's saving. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So they're fine. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all that generation that had done evil on the side of the Lord was consumed. Wow. 40... One of those, I know it's rare for God, but I think he's sort of overreacting just a little bit. He doesn't really, for being a God, he doesn't like to, like, settle differences of opinion, you know, very nobly. He's sort of just like, when someone even see, all these people do are asking. They didn't even stay. They're just like, hey, maybe we should stay in this land, you know, for all the reasons that I said before. And Moses is like, oh my God, that you would even think that I'm going to make you wander in the wilderness for 40 years until you're all dead. 40 years. How could there have been anyone left who was even would have followed anybody, Moses or God, after that? Wait a minute. Wasn't Moses also supposed to die after that war? That must have been a really stressful 40 years for him, thinking like at any moment... You know, God's going to remember. I bet there were a bunch of times where Moses was like, hey, God? Yeah? Nothing. No, never mind. Nothing. It's nothing. Just never mind. It must have been a million times like that. Like, imagine, like, being in a constant state of just like, is he going to remember? He said he was going to kill me after that war, but that was like 27 years ago. Any minute now, he's got to remember that. I mean, is he keeping me alive for some reason? Is there something? That'd be stressful. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. I gotta wonder if the people wanted to just say, like, look, God, I know you're an all-powerful, great God and everything, and you're the ruler of this whole universe, and we've had some great times, you know, we had some, boy, times I'm sure as hell not going to forget anytime soon, but, being your chosen people, it's really taken its toll. It's just not, you know, it's not what it used to be. God's like, wait a minute, are you breaking up with me? No. I mean, in the sense that, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with you, but no, in the sense that you're still God, and we'll still be here, and you are everything and everywhere, so it's not really like we're going to be apart. We're just not seeing how it's worth it anymore or in any way beneficial to us to continue as your people. You know, I can't say much better than that. There's no, what are we getting out of this? All you do is kill us and make us wander everywhere for years and years and years. And when we don't follow your every whim perfectly. And I guess it made sense back when 60 years ago, I think some of us were in Egypt or something. I don't even know. I wasn't there. You've killed everybody that was there. You know, it made a little bit of sense to want to follow you out of there because, you know, we were slaves and stuff. And you promised us a land, and that was great, and that was cool, and we're like, okay, yeah, no. But then we found a land that was fine, and you killed us for wanting to, you know, not, and for just suggesting that maybe we stay there, you know? It's just, at that point, what are we gaining by being your people? So, I'm deleting you out of my phone, and we're not Facebook friends anymore. And just don't try to, you know, add me again. You know, I know you can't, you'll think you can handle us just being friends, but yeah, I know you can't. God, you're too, you know, passionate. It's not going to work. So just, this is goodbye. This is goodbye. End scene. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. They should probably build cattle folds. And cities for our little ones. I wouldn't trust little ones with entire cities. Again, two wrong things in a row there. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan, or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Really, they said that instead of all the stuff that I said? Because I think they should have said all the stuff that I said. But that's just me. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued for you. Then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they do not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. What? I don't understand that. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so we will do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and the land, with the cities thereon. And the children of Gad built Dibon, and Ataroth, and Aroer, and Atroth, and Shophon, and Jazer, and Jogbeha. That's my favorite one, yeah. Jogbeha. And Beth Nimra, and Beth Haran, and fenced cities, and folds for sheep, where you fold your sheep into. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon, and Eleah, and Kirjathaim, and Nebo, and Baalmeon. Their names being changed, in parentheses it says. Their names being changed. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? It means nothing. And Shibmah, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. And the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. There's just one Amorite in it. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof, and called them Havothjair. Havothjair. His names are getting ridiculous. And Nobah went and took Kenath, and the villages thereof, and called it Nobah. Well, that's created. After his own name. Thanks, I needed that clarification. And Nobah called it Nobah, after his own name. Really? Were there people who were like, hey, Nobah, what did you decide to call the villages that you just took? I decided to call them Nobah. People were like, Nobah, how did you think of that one? I'm trying to think. Where did you come up with Nobah? It's after my own name. Oh, that's where I've heard that. Oh, Nobah, oh, I get it. He really needed that clarification in there, because we wouldn't have gotten it. Well, that is it for today's reading. And, a couple things. So, I've gotten great reviews on iTunes. People have written reviews. Thank you so much. Can't thank you enough. I think my subscribers keep growing, and I'm just really, really happy and surprised, and I think it has to do with just getting more and more reviews on iTunes. So please, anyone who hasn't, really appreciate it if you would go ahead and write me a nice little review there. And again, thanks if you have. I really appreciate it. And I did plug my other podcast with my brother called F This. I should have talked more about the fact that it's a little bit more crude. You know, it's supposed to be funny, and we're just complaining to have fun about the little things that we find ridiculous. But also, there's some great stuff. This last episode, we did, for anyone who hasn't checked it out, we broke down an episode of Ghost Hunters for my segment called Stupid Shit People Believe. That's my segment each time. So ghosts was it, and I took an entire episode of Ghost Hunters, which was just amazing. It was the most incredible thing. And played sound clips from it and just made fun of it, and it was awesome. The podcast was really long because I didn't realize how long it was going to take, so we started off with all these stories and stuff. So if you want to just hear the Ghost Hunters part, just skip to like halfway through the podcast and check it out. But if you have any interest in that, it's pretty funny. if the humor's not for you, I totally understand, and no big deal. Don't worry about it. But if you think it might be something for you, go ahead and check it out, F This Podcast. Just search it in iTunes and subscribe, and maybe write a review about what you think. And as always, you can send comments to comments@thomasinthebible.com. And thank you so much, and I will see you next episode. Bye.